This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
It is Bears Overnights. I am Rami Makhlouf with you for one more hour on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Coming up, it's Mully and Haw. They're joined by Olin Krutz at 7 o'clock, DJ Moore at 8. Then with Bernstein and Harris, Anthony Harris will be there at 11. Dan Wiederer at 1. Kurt Warner joins the guys at 3. He was so good on the call on the NFL Network yesterday with Rich Eisen. And Mark Grody will be with Spiegel and Holmes at 4 o'clock. And Jalen Johnson joins those guys at 5 o'clock. I think I said Kurt Warner with Bernstein and Harris. He's with Spiegel and Holmes at 3 o'clock. So jam-packed day of Bears talk and Bears coverage for you right here on The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. This text comes from the 773, and it says, it's very concerning that you are very convincing about the amount of It says, very concerning the fact that there is no mention that these first six games have been against horrible teams. Shocking. First of all, it has been mentioned that they've had a somewhat easy schedule to this point. I wouldn't say six horrible teams. Tennessee was a really good defense. Tennessee was a very, very good defense in week one. And Houston is one of the teams that a lot of folks think could come out of the AFC. So I wouldn't say six horrible teams. They've faced four pretty bad teams in a row, but I don't really take that with a grain of salt. And we talked about some of this already earlier today. First of all, the last 2 weeks, they've done what they're supposed to do against teams that they're better than on paper, and teams that if they're taking that next step out of bad, if they're moving up a tier out of bad, then they did against these last two teams what they should do. Can't say the same about what happened against Indianapolis. And even though they got the win against Los Angeles, there were things they should have been able to do better in that game. But yeah, okay. They've faced some bad teams, including this week. The Jaguars were 30th in opponent red zone scoring percentage. They were 32nd in passing yards. All three teams that they faced the last 3 weeks are among the bottom four in points allowed, while the Rams and Jaguars own the weakest defenses in yards allowed per play. So yeah, there is you could serve up these wins with that grain of salt that these haven't been the greatest teams that they're beating. But again, first of all, I would say they did what they're supposed to do the last 2 weeks and won in convincing fashion, which I would hope you would do. But then also they're fixing stuff along the way. And I'm not just talking about Caleb Williams. The Bears are fixing stuff along the way. The Jaguars were just the less disciplined and less error-free team of these two that matched up today. They had two touchdowns that were dropped by Gabe Davis in the end zone. They just dropped them. The Bears didn't have one drop today, at least not one that I could find in the stat sheet. They also had another touchdown drop by Brian Thomas Jr. really close to the end zone.
Oh, yeah, that was another big one. I forgot about that one.
They also had eight penalties for 43 yards today.
Three false starts on one drive, I think.
Where the Bears had two for 10 yards. So you were the more disciplined team, where you couldn't say that before. And this really stuck out to me, which I found while I was getting ready for the show this morning. Only Josh Allen, so far this season, has had a better performance against Jacksonville. Only one quarterback, Josh Allen, who a lot of people before last week had leading the MVP race. And only Derek Carr had a better game against Carolina than what Caleb Williams did. Those are two guys that have done some things in this league. Those are two veterans in this league. And Caleb Williams did almost exactly what they did against these defenses that you might want to take something away. Or like I said, serve it up with a grain of salt that the Bears are beating bad teams, but they're beating them the way they should. And Caleb Williams is doing things to them that only other elite quarterbacks are doing to these bad defenses. So
at the end of the day, it's still an NFL defense.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not at all discouraged by this guy. I know it gets tougher and they need to get better through these first nine games before they get to the back eight and they have a chance. They're within a stretch of schedule where they have a chance to stack up wins and get better along the way. After this game, it's, of course, the Bears post-game show with Mully and Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. Wanted to bring you a little bit of that. Here was the guy's initial reaction to start the show today after a Bears 35-16 win over the Jaguars in London.
And, Patrick, we have another victory. We have the Bears in a very strong game after a shaky start, but it didn't last long. They took control, trailed again, which you wonder about, but who needs a first 15 plays, buddy? I mean, all that matters is how you finish.
After all that. Hey, Mully, do we have a good team?
I think they look good. I think they look like a 4-2 football team. Again, they're not playing, you know, it's not like they beat the Chiefs today, but they won a game against another NFL team, and they did it in dominating fashion. And I think Bears fans should feel really good about the development of the quarterback, getting better every game, the development of the offense, the fact that this defense is top shelf. Mm-hmm. And whenever you can get your long snapper a couple touchdowns, I'm on board.
How about that? We'll get that storyline later. That's outstanding. But, yeah, I feel like they're a good team. They're doing what they need to do against these opponents. And, yes, Jacksonville, you know, had that one drive where they gave up all the penalties and the drop balls as well. But the Bears look like a darn good football team. And they did it, too, without three DBs for most of the game. It's showing me that this is a complete team effort. And we have 2 weeks in a row of 30-plus points by this offense, which is impressive. And we've been dreaming for that around here in Chicago for a long time. And I just think right now we've got a complete team, a good team that is good all around. As we will go in the season, we know we're going to have tougher opponents. But right now, going into this bye at 4-2 and the way they're looking and the way this offense is coming around, I am extremely encouraged. And I tell you what, man, Caleb Williams, again, another week, stepped up, got better. Those two touchdown passes to Keenan Allen, some of the other throws he made, the decisions he made. I think we got a good team, and I think we got a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying there. Listen, the Bears, you know, I was a little nervous this morning when I saw that at least a couple of different places were saying that Jacksonville were now the favorites in the game, which did not make a ton of sense to me. But I think that was a reaction to some of the issues they were having with injuries. You know, the idea that yes, indeed, Tyrique Stevenson is out. We knew Jaquan Brisker didn't make the trip. You know, Terrell Smith is hurt. They're low on corners. And as we mentioned, you know, you got another injury in game. You saw that Kyler Gordon had to leave with a hamstring. So I just it ended up not meaning anything, but it was interesting to me that maybe there was an over response to that in some places.
Yeah, I think so as well. But that just, again, shows the depth of that defensive backfield to come in and play the way they did. I thought Elijah Hicks played really well.
Yeah, played great.
And you've seen Josh Blackwell play well on special teams. And every time he's had a step in the last few years here, he's played well. There hasn't been a huge drop-off. You know what I mean? Obviously, Kyler Gordon's much better, but there hasn't been that huge drop-off. And, you know, kudos to him for playing well. And then, you know, I think a lot of credit goes to he was a DB coach when I was there, is John Hoke. He's doing a great job with these guys. And for these guys to step in the way they did, that says a lot about the coaching as well. So kudos to John Hoke and what he's doing with those guys. But, you know, they made Jacksonville look bad. They made them look – I was a little more scared as well. I didn't – you know, we obviously didn't pick the Jags to win. But
right.
I was a little nervous about this game just because of their talent. But they went out there and they Jacksonville themselves. They kept having drops and penalties, and they look like a bad football team.
Yeah, it was a really significantly easier game than I anticipated it would be. I think we all felt that they were going to win the game. We all predicted the Bears would win the game, but goodness gracious, it's really something the way they dominated the game. And I think you've got to like everything that you've seen from Caleb Williams. I know he had a pick in the game. He had an open receiver down the field, and DJ Moore is wide open. And maybe if he had gotten a little stronger throw there, that would have been a touchdown. But the safety came across and got a pick on that play, and you kind of had a little pause. But the guy threw two passes, two touchdowns to Cole Kmet, and two touchdowns to Keenan Allen. Good to see Keenan Allen getting on board, and we had kind of talked about that yesterday, the idea that he now has been healthy for a couple of weeks, and you were just waiting for him to make an impact, and I would say today counts.
Oh, no doubt. Maybe that big third down catch as well late in the fourth quarter to kind of seal the game, where you thought maybe the momentum would shift a little bit, so that took another possession away from the Jacksonville Jaguars to come back and score. And, I tell you what, though, the one play, we can critique that all we want, the interception, right?
Yeah.
But the young man had four touchdown passes.
Correct.
I will take that any day of the week, every Sunday, Thursday, whenever they're playing. Like, that stat line right there is great. 23 of 29, 226, four TDs, one interception. And they gave up three sacks. I think it was only for five yards. So that says, you know, he didn't get in trouble doing some of his crazy scrambling, but he's been very, very efficient at that. And I thought overall, Malik, the O-line played pretty well against a D-line that had two pretty darn good pass rushes on the edge overall. So I thought they played pretty well. And obviously in the run game, they had another strong day with DeAndre Swift rushing, I think, for 5.7 yards per carry with 91 yards. So as much as we were all on this offense the first 2 weeks, it's amazing what they've done with this transformation into what they are now, of being a 30-plus point team, which is, again, more credit to Shane Waldron.
And, you know, I thought the running game was excellent. I thought DeAndre Swift had another good game. We had worried about him in the early part of the season. He took a few games to really show up, but he's been showing up, and he's been doing a good job. And, you know, again, so much of this is quarterback play. I thought he played well again. I thought that the defense – you know, they kept making a big deal of it on the broadcast, that they had they talked to Tremaine Edmonds and asked him, hey, who's the best player on this defense? And he rattled off seven guys. I think they have a lot of talent on the defense. And
yes.
I don't know that we understand how good they are top to bottom with that group, because, you know, some of these backups had good games. It was a good thing to see the Bears be able to spread out the wealth a little bit and to play pretty good defense top to bottom.
Again, under 20 points, right?
Yeah.
I know Jacksonville helped them out a little bit, but still, they're forcing some of those drops. They're forcing some of those issues. So a lot of credit to them. They're just darn good. They came out, what they said in the beginning of the year, they want to be a top 10 or a top 5 defense.
Right.
Right now, they're looking like it. They're playing like it, and they're performing like it. But, Mully, we got to shift this conversation a little bit. We got to talk about the long snapper, Cole Kmet.
We should say poor Scott Daly suffered a knee injury in the game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And that was sad to see, and I hope he's okay. We'll get more information on him. But as you say, Cole Kmet pressed into action. Pat, you're the trained eye and the guy that knows what it looks like. I thought he did really well. I thought he was snapping the ball kind of right on target. You didn't feel like there was ever a point where they had to hold it different. There was any kind of change in the operation. I know he's a hell of an athlete. He played baseball at Notre Dame as well as football. But, man, that was impressive.
He did a great job. And I think the laces were forward on all the snaps as well, which is impressive. So what that tells me, he honestly works at it. Like, the backup normally doesn't have to work at it, but he's very good at it if he can do that. And then two, he takes the crap serious. So I much respect for him stepping in and doing what he did. But I say this, the best thing is they never punted after Scott Daly got hurt.
Wow.
So there's a difference between, you know, a punt snap and a field goal snap, a little different, yes. You know, yardage and all that kind of stuff and being able to protect. But what I saw on the sideline, somebody posted on Twitter that he can snap and like get, you call it vertical setting, like you're getting back, you know, so you can block a guy in front of you. And he was doing some of his practice snaps doing that. I'm like, wait a minute, this kid's legit. Like, he's a good long snapper as well. So that's you know, it showed today. It's nice to have somebody that can come in and do that as a backup. And obviously now they have 2 weeks to find somebody else, which will help that position in Cairo as well.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, it was funny. After one of his touchdowns, he was going to celebrate. I think they were doing like a tea party, continuous tea party of sorts. But he was trying to do a dance or something. They're like, no, you got to go snap. He had to cut his celebration short.
Yeah. but he did a great job. Happy for him. Happy for this team. And just happy for us too, Molly. Happy for the city of Chicago that
we
actually get to talk about. We don't look like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
That's normally what we're talking about. We're talking about dumb penalties, drops, missed opportunities. Now we're talking about capitalization on plays, a potential franchise quarterback who is looking better and better each week as a rookie, and now is, 4-2 as a rookie in this league.
Yes.
And I guess nobody's ever done that.
And four touchdown passes. Could have been five, but they ruled DJ on the goal line on the one play, but regardless, and you know, maybe he could have gotten six if he'd thrown for the pylon on that interception.
That's true.
But I mean, you gotta feel really good about this team, and you don't have to convince me that they're beating teams that they should beat, but I'll take it. And I think 4-2, as you say, with a rookie quarterback, you're going to the bye week. I think it's all on the table. You can talk about winning seasons and playoffs and all that stuff. It really makes the next week a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does, and they've kind of set themselves up, right? I think at 3-3, you'd be like, well, with the schedule coming up going forward, it doesn't feel as good. I think 4-2 says a lot with the bye week. Guys can get healthy, and then now you're in charge of your own destiny. You start to play your division. This is where you find out if you're really a good team and if you are a playoff team. So, I would take 4-2 going into this bye week right now with a rookie quarterback and the progress I have seen. That's what's been impressive to me, just the progress, how they've just self-corrected themselves and the defense just keeps playing well. So I'm extremely positive, extremely happy, and just I'm glad they did what they did to the two teams in the past 2 weeks that they should have done. Put up 35 points, shut them down defensively. That's the sign of a darn good team.
Let's get to the phone lines. We've got a ton of people who want to check in. We're going to get to all your calls. 312-644-6767. We'll start the conversation with Steven. He's in Detroit. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm glad I woke up early, got my share of coffee, Red Bull, whatever I can to stay awake. And I tell you, the first quarter was just a real downer because it looked like they were the ones who looked like jet lagged and came into the London late. But I'm just so happy that, this team is making progress. Waldron, I think, I just want him to really get the Bears off to a fast start. Because I know at some point that's going to come back to bite the Bears if they face a better team, down the road when the schedule gets tougher. But, other than that bad throw on DJ Moore that he floated, I have nothing against Caleb. I think he was impressive. I like the fact that he always surveys the field before taking it off. And, you know, moving forward, I just hope that, you know, he has the ability to run, you know, maybe not to the level of Justin Fields, but also, you know, move around to just take off and, you know, get some yardage so that he can avoid getting sacked or, you know, at least gain something out of nothing. So, you know, maybe first down, second down in long situations hopefully can be averted. And, you know, I'm just so happy that the Bears get a bye considering all the injuries now. And that so hopefully that the Bears can get a lot of people healthy and ready to go against Washington in 2 weeks. Hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, Steven. Thanks. Yeah, I thought he played a great game. I thought he played another great game. I think he's getting better. We know he's getting bossy. I think it's wonderful. I'm a fan.
I am too. And, you know, they went up tempo quite a bit again this week, and that's putting the game in his hands, letting him be in charge. And that's, again, that says a lot about a young man who's in his sixth game of the season. And he looks very, very comfortable doing that. And I like the game plan that Shane Waldron has adapted for him. And obviously he got 2 weeks putting up 30 plus points. You know, the slow start, he talked about the slow start. Okay, I understand that. But they put up 35 points. Like, then you scored on what, 5 of 6 possessions. Yeah. I mean, that's a powerful offense right there. I mean, now we're getting greedy if we're complaining about not scoring on the first two drives.
Yeah,
so I'm happy with what they're doing.
It's so true. It's a gift to be upset with the fact that they fell behind 3-0.
Yes.
Because look at the score of the game.
I know.
And it's interesting because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he has now thrown 9 touchdown passes to 5 interceptions. If you count the 4 and the 1 today, that's pretty good. You know, the game against Washington will be really interesting because we're going to get a view of Jaden Daniels, and we're going to see the two rookie quarterbacks face off, which is the two best rookie quarterbacks, I should say, face off, which is fun. It's just a great game. We got tons of time to worry about that. This is now about, you know, the players will pretty much be off this week. Mm-hmm. I know that DJ Moore, they're heading home after the game. DJ Moore has already confirmed he will be on with us tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., which, I mean, is that unbelievable?
He's a
total pro. They're flying home from London, and, you know. And, Steven, I'm glad you got up and you got your coffee and you were ready to go, but why don't you get up regularly and you don't have to worry about sleeping in? I was up hours before the game started.
Yep.
It was fun. It was great.
Yeah.
It was good morning exercise, having a nice
So I didn't realize they're flying back tonight because we stayed, and we had a hell of a party. We had a nice team party.
Yeah.
That was a good time. That was that's probably the – well, winning the game was fun, but that was the most fun, just hanging out with your teammates in London for a night and having a couple pints. That was a good time. I'm surprised they're not letting them stay. Or maybe they voted on it. Maybe they said, no, they want to come home. That could be it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to go there and just spend a night at Waxy O'Connor, the great Irish bar there. Give me a break. I mean, I could spend a good – 5 weeks there in one night. That's a great spot.
There's Mully and Patrick Manley on the post game show right here on 670. The score after the Bears win 35-16. Yeah, some people are mourning people. I'm sure Mully was thrilled with the kickoff time, and Mully will be here shortly to continue a Bears Football Monday right here on 670. The score. Some of us not. My fiance was thrilled. She was like, "Oh, this is great! The game's over. We have all day. We can go shopping. We can clean. We can do laundry." I was like, "Oh yeah, cool. That's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to do with my Sunday. That is perfect. I should have known it wouldn't take long for Manley to bring up long snapper Cole Kmet, who we will hear from next. It's Bears Overnight. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and I'll be back right after."
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For this.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And coming up on Mully and Haw to continue a Football Monday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. The guys this morning are joined by Olin Kreutz, who's always awesome, and DJ Moore will join them at 8 o'clock right here on 670 The Score. We heard from Keenan Allen earlier, Caleb Williams, Matt Eberflus. If you missed any of that, it'll all be up at 670thescore.com or over there on your Odyssey app. Bears win 35-16. This morning. It all feels like one day just blending in. But no, it was yesterday. The Bears win 35-16 against the Jaguars in London. Big day for Cole Kmet. Another one. 5 receptions, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was targeted 5 times. He had a 31-yard reception. He seems to be really developing into Caleb Williams' kind of safety valve or safety blanket out there when things break down, including a huge 27-yard reception in the fourth quarter that helped put this one away. And, oh, yeah, he was also the long snapper. After Scott Daly was ruled out with a knee injury in the first quarter, he scored 2 touchdowns and immediately turned around to go and snap the football for the extra point. He obviously talked about all that after the game. Here's Bears tight end and now long snapper Cole Kmet.
Cole, you were the first player since 2005, Mike Bartram, for the Eagles to score a touchdown and then for the extra point after, you know, snap the ball. Yeah. What was weirder, being on long snapping today or being that open for the first touchdown?
Yeah, definitely not a position I envisioned playing in the NFL ever. But you got to do what you got to do. There's only so many guys you can dress on game day and only so many guys they can have on the roster. So you got to have somebody that can be the emergency. And I'm that guy reluctantly at times. But I get my 2 or 3 snaps in on Thursday and we go to Sunday. And it's always my biggest worry going to the game. And hopefully Scott's doing all right and everything heals up okay. But just glad I could go out there and just provide something for the team in that regard.
Cole, how did you wind up with that dude?
Someone found out that I did it in high school. These guys know everything about you. So they found out I did it in high school. My uncle did it And I remember my dad, you know, just we would, me and my brother would be messing around doing it in the backyard all the time. And it was just kind of like a more you can do thing. And, you know, thinking like if you ever needed to make a team, if you're a guy that's, you know, the 54 or 55 guy and they're deciding between two guys, that, you know, having that ability, they're going to keep you on the roster for those type of things. And, you know, obviously I'm not in that really that position right now, but that was kind of the mindset of learning how to do it. And, you know, I wanted to play in the NFL one day, and that was kind of the thing behind it. And paid off today, I guess. So I was glad that I could just help out where I could.
Your first touchdown today, the play design seems like something that was in Shane's book for a little while there. What did you see with the fake double screen? And your
Just a great play concept. He had run it in Seattle before, and you know, they presented a good defense for us to run that, and we had run a bunch of screens where we're flying the guy behind and pulling those backers out. So just kind of blocked my guy on the line for a second there, and Caleb gave a good fake. And then just right up the shoot and was able to break a tackle and get in the end zone.
Well, how different is the nervousness you might feel of being a long snapper versus either butterflies or anxiety before the game or before the game is a tight end?
Yeah, I think for me, I don't really get like nervous anymore to go out and play. I think like the first couple games of the season, just because you know you're a little unfamiliar from taking the big break and you finally go back, you get. I have a little bit of nervousness, but like once you get rolling in the season, it feels like game day is like every other day. So I don't have that type of nervousness anymore, but because I'm just doing all those reps all the time. So I just know what to expect. I know what I can do out there. But I mean, like I said, long snapper, I take two snaps a week, really. So it's not like I have a ton of time on task on that like I do at tight end. But at the end of the day, like that's kind of what this league is a little bit. You kind of just have to plug and play some guys. Guys are playing out of position here and there, and it just happened to be me today.
So the emotion you feel like just getting through it just kind of relief? Or
yeah, I think I was tired enough on each of those where I'm not even thinking about it in a sense. Like you're just so tired on the field that, you know, just, okay, I'm going to shoot this ball in between my legs real quick and get this over with. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the feel. I think going in the night of the game, though, I do think about – I kind of run my head through all the scenarios and the plays, and then I just think, gosh, I hope Scales or Scott don't get hurt today.
Well, you have really good perspective on the Bears as a guy that grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
How excited do you think people should be by what Caleb has done the last three games?
Yeah, well, I mean, people can be excited as they want to be. I think what I can say about Caleb, he's taken – steps every game, and I think that's been evident. And you know, I'm sure he'll tell you he'll probably want that one throwback that he had to DJ, but I thought besides that did some really amazing stuff. I thought the scramble he had to me was just an unbelievable play. And you know, just how he can create and do those type of things. And then, you know, if they're going to play man on us like did a few of the times and things might be a little covered or muddy downfield, he's able to escape the pocket and get, you know, 20, 30 yards on some of those runs. So he's just super dynamic. He's a pass-first guy, but he has that ability to run as well. And I think he does a pretty good job of taking care of himself when he does become a runner as well.
Were you watching when Scott got hurt? What was your perspective? Did someone tell you, hey, he's done?
Well, yeah, I didn't know he got HT came up to me and said, hey, Scott's hurt. And I'm like, Tyler Scott's hurt? Like, what? And he's like telling me, and I'm like, okay, like, why does that affect me? He's like, you need to get some snaps in. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, I got to go snap right now. Yeah, so that's kind of how that went down. And then immediately started firing snaps between my legs and thankfully didn't have to do any punt scenarios. I'm pretty sure we had that, like, fourth and four scenario before Keenan caught that ball. And I was like, this is usually a punt and pin situation, but I'm sure Coach was like, let's try and get the first down here. And that's kind of what happened.
So last one, when you look up and you see just one dude in between you and the end zone, when do you decide, am I going to try to juke and get around him? Am I going to go through him? And
yeah.
What is that like for you out there today?
Yeah, I think for like my skill set, it's always like trying to run dudes over. And that's kind of how I look at it, and trying to get half a man. I remember like Jimmy Graham kind of taught me about that. Like in anything that we do, like whether it's blocking or you're in pass pro or you're running routes, you always want to work on half a man. And that's the same thing when you get the ball in your hands. You know, you take a half of a man on him, you know, he's half his body weight. And now I got my full weight, my full speed going at him. And so I was able to shed him. And I'll probably get docked for reaching the ball out there for the end zone. But there was no way I was getting a sniff fine either. So that worked out well.
There's Cole Kmet after the 35-16 win over the Jaguars yesterday in London, tight end and now long snapper. Man, that is terrifying. I'm telling you, right? And he said, like, it keeps him up at night. Would he, like, go through hypotheticals and any possible scenarios the night before a game? You heard him say, like, he kind of loses sleep over the possibility of being the long snapper. And then he kind of... He kind of downplayed it later when he was like, I was so tired, I didn't even really think about it. I just thought, let me shoot this ball between my legs and go on to the next play. I'm telling you, it was more than that. We have Patrick Manley on the station. He could tell you much better than I could. But I long snapped in high school a little bit, man. And I'm telling you, it's one of the harder skills to sort of, I won't even say master, because I obviously didn't master it, or I would be Patrick Manley and not just some random dude on a microphone right now. But like, it's really hard. Like, you have your head basically, you're bent in half, your head between your legs. You got to get the right spin on it. You got to get 10, 12 yards of depth and distance on it. And not to mention, then you got to look up and figure out who to block. Now, some of the rules have sort of changed about punt formations, punt block formations, and who you can put over the center and all that. That makes it a little bit easier and a little less dangerous for long snappers, but it's still a really, really hard thing to do. And for Cole Kmet to just step in and like I said earlier, for the Bears to not really have to think about it. Now, it wasn't a close game where some sort of dire or desperate make or break situation came up and they had to decide, do we go for it or do we kick? But it's happened before where teams lose their long snapper or they lose their holder or somebody that's vital in that process of the long snap, the hold, and the kick, that it affects decisions later in the game where you'll go for it, where otherwise you'd kick it, whether we're talking about a fourth and short in field goal range or an extra point type of situation. For Cole Kmet to get in there and the Bears to not have to change anything about their extra point and field goal teams, I think is really, he should be commended for that. And then as a tight end and the day that he had and sort of that rapport and relationship that he's developing with Caleb Williams, like I said before I introduced the clip, he really seems to be that safety valve. And that 27-yard pass in the fourth quarter where Caleb was scrambling, it looked like he was just about ready to throw the ball away. And if you watch that play, that's just Cole Kmet improvising. That's just he was blocking, and he sees Caleb Williams scramble out to the right, and he just zooms down the field, and Caleb Williams sees him out of the corner of his eye. Little dump off, and Cole Kmet does the rest for 27 yards. I thought that was maybe not as big a play as the two touchdowns, but pretty big play right there for the Bears and to extend that drive. And I mean, that's that you're just trying to kill the clock and extend drives and end the game at that point. And that play right there went a long ways in doing that. It just shows you that chemistry between those two guys and that sort of awareness, that presence of mind that Caleb Williams has when plays break down. And that's getting better and better and better as the season goes on and he develops and gets more and more snaps. Bears win 35-16. Got time for a few more of your calls, a few more of your texts, if you are so inclined. 312-644-6767. Before I hand things off to Mully and Haw, who are joined by Olin Krutz at 7 o'clock and DJ Moore at 8 o'clock here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm Rami Makhlouf with Bears Overnights and back right after this.
Quick throw and Keenan Allen. What a grab. And what a throw. I mean, coming into this game, when we were talking to Caleb Williams, he goes, I think I need to get Keenan Allen a little bit more involved this week. Two touchdowns. A big fourth down, mission accomplished.
And what everybody said about Keenan Allen is that even though he hasn't got the touches, he knew they would come, but more importantly, his attitude never changed. He was a vet. He kept working. He was like, hey, it doesn't matter. We're getting better. We're growing. Everybody's going to have their moment. And today, he's getting his.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Final segment of Bears Overnights with me, Rami Makhlouf, and Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass before we make way for Mully and Hall, including visits from Olin Krutz at 7 and DJ Moore at 8, part of a jam-packed Football Monday here on The Score with Anthony Heron joining Bernstein and Harris at 11. Dan Wiederer at 11. Big show for Spiegel and Holmes. Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody at 4. Jalen Johnson at 5. So stay tuned to 670 The Score all day as they break down and celebrate a little bit. A 35-16 win for the Bears over the Jaguars in London yesterday morning. And you heard the highlight there. That absolute dime, that dart from Caleb Williams to Keenan Allen. All his throws to Keenan Allen today, dude, were those types of throws. In the tight windows or with just the perfect touch. We've talked a lot about the two touchdown passes, the back shoulder to Keenan Allen when he's turning around in the middle of the end zone, the over the shoulder in the back of the end zone. Just everything he threw to Keenan Allen today, it was those types of plays where other receivers might not be open, but Keenan Allen is open because of the things he can do. And just a great day for Caleb Williams, man. 23 of 29 for 4 touchdowns, 226 yards, 124.4 QB, or excuse me, passer rating, and 88.4 QB rating. And another big step forward for the Bears rookie quarterback. Here's a text from the 847. Credit to the offensive line. What a difference when the line protects Caleb. Love the up-tempo offense. Jaden Daniels from the Commanders looks very much average when he was pressured. Go Bears. I haven't seen the highlights or at least extensive highlights of that game that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, I almost called them by their old name, old habits die hard. The Commanders played against the Ravens. The numbers didn't look too bad, and it wasn't a blowout from what I recall. And I haven't seen exactly what Jaden Daniels did in that game, but from what I've read and just looking at the box score, he had an okay performance. Did he not?
No, yeah, that game was obviously very talked about this whole week. It really wasn't a blowout, but you really didn't feel like the Commanders were like down big in that game. Baltimore just kind of steadily controlled throughout. And don't get me wrong, like, I think we were just so used to the fact that Washington was putting up 30, 30, yeah, 30 the last couple weeks. Maybe it was a little bit down, but it wasn't necessarily a bad performance.
I'm looking at his numbers now. The texter said he looked very much average. 24 of 35, 269 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a passer rating of 110.3.
It's not a bad game at all.
It's not bad at all. I'm really looking forward to that matchup in a couple of weeks. The Bears get the bye this week, and I know Olin said in the clip we played earlier from the post-game show, he would like to see them play next week. He would like to see them keep rolling and see if they can keep the momentum going. And I get that, especially for the offense and what they got going right now. But you look at the defensive side of things, and with all the injuries with Tariq Stevenson and Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon goes down during the game, that defense could use this bye week and could use a break right now. So I think it comes at a good time. I do wonder if they lose a little bit of that mojo and that rhythm that they got going as an offense and that Caleb Williams got going. But as far as the health of the team, the timing of it, you always like the bye week to come near the midpoint of the schedule. And I know it's only 6 games. They still have, what? Let me do some quick math. They have 11 games left from my math. So it's close to the middle of the season, and with the defense as banged up as it is, I think the bye week comes at a good time for the Bears. But once it's over, man, I really am looking forward to this matchup and seeing these two young quarterbacks. A lot of people have pointed at Jaden Daniels as the, you know, rookie of the year, runaway rookie of the year to this point. I think the race is a lot closer when you look at the numbers and the game by game breakdown and seasons that these two guys have had. But a lot of people have pointed at Jaden Daniels and said he hasn't really faced anybody so far this season as far as defenses before he went against Baltimore today. And that's a very good Baltimore defense, and I just gave you the numbers. They put up 23 points. That's not a bad offensive day by any means, but come 2 weeks from now when the Bears and the Commanders go head to head, I think I can confidently say Washington's been good, but I think I can confidently say Jaden Daniels will be facing the tougher defense of those two quarterbacks on that Sunday afternoon. And that being said, I'm looking for the Bears, not banking on it. I'm not saying it's an easy, it's a roll your helmets out type of win. But I'm looking at the Bears to come out of that game with the win next week, and not to get too greedy, not to get too selfish and too far ahead of myself here, but don't look now. They win that game in a couple of weeks, and Arizona and New England following those two games, you have a chance to stack together six straight wins here. Like, Washington is a major obstacle standing in the way of six straight wins. And if they can do that, while I wasn't thrilled with the way they won against the Rams necessarily in terms of the way that the offense sputtered in that game, I felt like they should have played a little better. I was not happy at all with the way the Colts game went down. If you can stack together six wins, and even if it's five out of six, if they do come up short against Washington in a couple of weeks, that is exactly what we talked about wanting this team to do in this stretch of schedule here before things get tough in the back half. But I'm really, really looking forward to that game in a couple of weeks between the Bears and the Commanders and seeing Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams go head-to-head.
It's...
Whoa, what's going on over there? You guys got a party in the producer booth?
No, that's just Dustin over here. He's looking at something. No, I was going to say, too, I think definitely Jaden Daniels, these are going to be the two best defenses he'll face early in the season in Baltimore and the Bears. And an interesting thing that I think is going to be a storyline for the Bears, I know it's kind of like a thing that, like, oh, home crowd advantage, but the Bears haven't had a true road game since that Indianapolis game.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could call London a neutral site, but they were the designated home team for that game.
And we talked about it earlier. They had the home field advantage in terms of the crowd noise and the fans.
100%.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
So and all eyes are going to be on, again, what we were talking about earlier, the 1-2 matchup. I had mentioned that these two are the reigning Heisman Trophy winners. They are coming off of the ultimate high that you could come off from college to the NFL. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of talk about this matchup.
There's going to be a lot of hype on it. Probably too much importance will be placed on it. You know what I mean? And so to some degree, too much importance has already been placed on what the two guys have done and comparing them to each other. But like I said, I think to some degree it's fair to compare the two. And whether it's fair or not, you're not going to get away from it. Those two guys are going to be compared to each other, not just this season, but as long as both are playing at a high level, or even one is playing at a high level and people are going to point at the other one and say bust or whatever they might say. Thanks so much to everybody who listened, who contributed on the phones, on the texts, and the tweets. Thanks again to Tyler Farengel for helping put this thing together. Really, really enjoyed this. And I'll be back to do another one soon. I don't know exactly when. I know I'll be here Wednesday night and Friday night hosting the Score evening show. So please check that out. And of course, stick around for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And it'll be Mully and Hawk coming up next, including visits from Olin Kreutz and DJ Moore. I'm Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening, and I will talk to you again soon right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.